Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, certainly not an encouraging result here as the Bucks fall by 10 to the Memphis Grizzlies, 111-101. And a couple of really problematic trends that we saw continue throughout the course of this game. It's really been picking up in regularity, a couple of these issues we will get to throughout the course of the show this evening. It is not full-blown panic time with six games left in the regular season. This is obviously not the stretch you were hoping for, as I know I continue to point to these four games specifically when you had four straight games against teams in the bottom 10 of the standings and mentioned a number of times, you know, you can really cement that two seed if you take care of business in those games with the separation you had at the time. You were three games up on the Cavs and the Knicks in the loss column. You win those games, you'll basically put it out of reach. The math will be on your side even without having the tiebreaker against the Cavaliers. And instead, what we've seen is the Bucks have kicked the door open now for a couple of those teams. We've seen the Knicks experience a three-game skid all of a sudden. We've seen the Magic start to surge. And that's the tricky part about this final week of the regular season is you're now talking about a number of teams. This isn't just can the Bucks hold off the Cavs. The Knicks started to gain some momentum. Then they lost a little bit of it. The Magic have gained that momentum as well. And as I had just mentioned, 2 through 5 is separated by just two games in the loss column. 6, 7, and 8 are also separated by just two games. So this is presenting one of the more unique situations going into the close of a regular season that I remember in recent memory, at least in the Eastern Conference. I think we've seen this a couple of times in the West. We traditionally have not seen this in the Eastern Conference, in a very top-heavy conference where things are usually settled in those first couple of spots and in the bottom. Maybe 4 or 5 is still to be determined, but this thing is wide open, and it's why I even caution to look ahead to the playoffs and the Bucks clinching a 2 seed. Can the Bucks fall down to 4? I'm still going to maintain it doesn't matter if you're 2 or 3. The big thing is just not to finish 4th. It's not ducking the Boston Celtics. It's more a matter of, you know, you're going to have to go through Boston. It doesn't mean you want to do it in the second round. But in terms of 2 or 3, I don't know that any of us have an answer of what would be more important. We all know the Bucks won the NBA championship as a 3 seed in 2021. They were a 2 seed 2 years ago when they were defending their championship and lost in the second round to the Boston Celtics. Again, the Chris Middleton injury had a big, big piece to do with the results there. They were the 1 seed last year and lost in the first round in 5 games to the Miami Heat. So I don't know that there's any great significance on seeding, especially when it comes down to 2 versus 3. You can point to the road record, as we spent quite a bit of time talking about on last night's show, and those comments by Doc Rivers after the game. I don't know how much of that is going to be applicable in the playoffs, as we've seen this team rise to the level and sink to the level of their competition quite a few times throughout the course of this season. But look, it would be one thing if you knew this team is probably going to be the 6th seed, and this team is probably going to be in that 7-8 matchup. The play-in tournament changes things as well with the variable of it could be 1 of 2 teams. If you're the 1 seed, it could be 1 of 4 teams. But just how close all of these teams are bunched up changes a lot of it, and I do not think we're going to have any clear idea not only where the Bucks are going to finish, but what that means for their opponent until the final 2 days, maybe even day, of the regular season. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. And speaking of the seeding, we will update you on that score in Phoenix. Whether or not the Bucks get some help and stay 2 games up in the loss column on 3 teams, on the Cavs, on the Orlando Magic, and on the New York Knicks. And again, You will not have the tiebreaker against the Cavaliers. That is the big piece. Cleveland is going to win that, even though the Bucks and Cavs split their four games this season, because for the first time in 5 years, the Bucks will not have finished with a better divisional record than any other team in their division. Cavaliers finished with a better divisional record, so if it comes down to a tie, Cleveland will win the division and in turn win the tiebreaker there. The Bucks do hold the tiebreaker over the Knicks. They cannot lose that. Even if they lose the final matchup they have against those New York Knicks on the Sunday night. But the Orlando Magic presents a very, very interesting scenario. Right now, just two games behind the Bucks, with two games left against the Bucks. If the Magic win those two games, they will have pulled even with the Bucks, and they will also take the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Bucks. So still a lot of work to be done, but I don't want to get caught up too much in where the Bucks should finish. Again, just don't finish fourth, and there's still a very, very good chance that is not going to be the case. But because of the uncertainty over who you're going to play, I don't know how important 2 versus 3 really is. 855-616-1620, the number to get to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I do also want to get to some of what Doc Rivers had to say after the game, specifically about Giannis, because if you were watching the game, I think it was pretty apparent. Giannis did not appear to be 100%, and there was at least two separate occasions where we saw Giannis clutching at the back of his leg. Was it a hamstring? I don't know. Doc Rivers himself said, I don't know if he was grabbing at the hamstring, but I saw the same thing you did, and I didn't like the way that he looked tonight. He did look much better in the second half. He was much more efficient in the second half. But even though Giannis did extend his 20-point streak, it didn't feel like a great Giannis game. And now we've started to see things bubble up for this team in bunches, right? The Chris Middleton return, well, tonight was night two of a back-to-back, so you didn't have Chris. But three straight games without Damian Lillard. Doc Rivers thought he may be able to play tonight. He did not. He said again, I think there's a good chance he's going to play on Friday, but again, remains to be seen. Pat Beverly down with an ankle injury last night. Who knows? Doc Rivers did not have an update on him before the game tonight. So just when you think things are looking up for the Bucks, you see teams behind you starting to charge in the standings and now injuries starting to pop up. But again, the number to join us on Bucks Talk tonight, the talk and text line, 855-616-1620. We'll get to your thoughts and revisit some of those Doc Rivers comments about Giannis after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Another big Jaren Jackson Jr. game, as he has seemingly had a handful of those against the Bucks. What was it, 2019, I believe, in Memphis. Early in the season, the game where Jaren Jackson Jr. went off for 40-plus points. I think he made 8 threes in that game as well. Went toe-to-toe with Giannis, and the Bucks narrowly edged it out. He's had some of these games against the Bucks. Tonight was maybe the best we've seen him because of his efficiency around the rim. And, look, I do want to get this out of the way, too, because I've seen this quite a bit, and it's a very lazy take and narrative, starting with Doc Rivers, to quickly jump to the, hey, did you see the Bucks are 15-15 since Doc Rivers took over? I think we talked about this a little bit on last night's show. They're 15-15, yes. The record that they've played, or the schedule that they've played in those 30 games versus the first 43 games under Adrian Griffin, are night and day different. So that is a big, big piece of it. It is not as simple as saying, hey, what's going on here? The Bucks won 60% of their games with their first coach, and now they're 500 with Doc. It's been a very challenging schedule, as we pointed to a number of times. The Bucks were in the top three for most of the second half of the season. It didn't start to calm down until about 10 days ago, when the Bucks slid down to around 10th, and then down to the middle of the pack in terms of opponent win percentage in the remaining games. It's going to pick back up starting on Sunday, as you got five straight games to close the season with playoff teams. And as we just mentioned, with how close the Eastern Conference is bunched up in those quadrants, in those 2 through 5 and 6 through 8, those are going to be important games. You know, even that game you have against the Boston Celtics, you may look at it, and I brought this up a couple weeks ago. Who knows the importance of that game, and who knows who you could potentially see on the floor for the Boston Celtics? Yes, Boston has clinched the one seed. So in that sense, what do they have to play for? Well, nothing. You want to stay healthy. But you still have 4 games left after that. And that's pretty early to start waving the white flag and pulling guys. So I do think for at least a half, if not more, you're going to see everybody that's available for the Boston Celtics. That game on Sunday against the Knicks, that may be the Knicks' last chance to jump into the fray with the Bucks and the Cavaliers. If they drop another game between now and then and that margin remains 2 games, they already don't have the tiebreaker against the Bucks. They lose that game, there's no chance they're catching them. The 2 games against the Orlando Magic are huge because Orlando could still get up to 2. As crazy as that sounds, the Orlando Magic, if they win both those games against the Bucks, they're pretty close to being in the driver's seat for the 2 seed. So that is how heavily contested this race is for the playoffs and how tough those games are to close out the season. Oh, by the way, that game against the Oklahoma City Thunder 1 week from Friday. You know, you looked at it at the time, too, and thought, well, second to last game on the schedule for the Thunder. Maybe they will have wrapped up their 1 seed or know their seeding by that point. They will not. Very similar to what we're saying with those 2 through 5 spots in the East. As right now, 3 teams separated by, I think, a game in the loss column in the West for the number 1 seed. The Nuggets, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Oklahoma City Thunder. So once you get past this game on Friday night against the Toronto Raptors, those final 5 games are going to carry a lot of significance. That may be good for the Bucks, however, because we've seen the Bucks play at their best against the elite levels of competition. I'm not going to go through the numbers. We've talked about it a lot throughout the course of this season, but just know the Bucks have the second-best win percentage in the league in games played against the 10 best teams by way of net rating. So in other words, we're taking your offense, we're subtracting it from your defense. What's the largest number here? Those 10 teams with the highest number, Bucks have the second-best win percentage in the league against those teams. The Bucks have the best net rating by lineup with their starters, their preferred starters, Brooke Lopez, Giannis, Chris Middleton, Malik Beasley, and Damian Lillard. That is the best 5-man lineup in the league by the numbers. So when you see those types of teams and when they're healthy, they've been a very good team. It's when that's not the case, when they're not healthy, when they're playing those teams that are in the middle 10 or in the bottom 10. That's where the struggles have come from. So maybe the schedule once again shifting back to those games just in time for the playoffs, it could be very, very beneficial for this Bucks team. I don't want to make too much out of this, and I do think if we are being honest, I don't know how much we care about this loss if the Bucks don't do what they did last night in D.C. against the Wizards. And I know they did that, so you can't make that excuse because it happened. I get that. But if the Bucks beat the Wizards last night, I think the result of this game is a shoulder shrug. And you look at it and you say, well, there's no Damian Lillard. There's no Chris Middleton. I get why this Bucks defense had some issues, right? No point of attack defender in Pat Beverley. That's a big, big, big piece to the success of the Memphis Grizzlies tonight. But you did do what you did last night, and it has started to become a trend. 4 losses in the last 5 games. The trends are the Bucks not getting to the free throw line. That's going to be a big, big piece of their half-court offense, which is very, very necessary in the postseason. The other piece of it is points in the paint. That was a huge issue for the Bucks earlier in the season. You thought you cleaned a lot of that up. And as we've continued to point out, you know, the big things, the big changes that Doc Rivers has brought to town here has been trying to avoid analysis paralysis and not saying, look, I'm not going to bombard these guys with tweaks and changes and things that we're going to install. They've added some things, sure, but it's been much smaller scale in one-offs. Doc Rivers has essentially come in and said, okay, here are the things we're not going to do, and one by one addressed the team and said, here's the things I need from you individually, but more importantly, here are the things I need you to not do. And it cleaned up a lot, right? Their transition defense has been much better. They were much better on the glass. But that started to become an issue of late. You had Giannis and you had Brooke Lopez. You had Bobby Portis on the floor tonight. So it's not a matter of, well, it's personnel driven. There's more to it than that. And those are the things, those two things specifically, that in the case of points in the paint and rebounding, you need to fix in time for the playoffs. In the case of free throws and the Bucks not getting to the free throw line quite as much, I'm not sure what there is to fix. We've seen some shifts made in how games are officiated, and we talked about these numbers a week ago on the show. Damian Lillard has been impacted by that officiating more than anybody in the league this season. This is not me making excuses for Damian Lillard. I'm pointing out he had gone from the sixth highest free throw rate in the league to 27th since we saw those officiating shifts. Players have had their free throw attempts come down. Giannis have, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has seen them come down. All of the league leaders, their free throw attempts per game have come down. But for Damian Lillard, it has been dramatic. And that is going to be a big piece of his success in the postseason. So I am not hovering over the panic button. I have not hit the panic button. But there are some things that do need to be addressed before the playoffs begin. 855-616-1620. The number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and talk with James on the South Side. What's going on tonight, James?
Yeah, same as it was last night. It seemed that the Bucks, are not playing defense or not showing up to play or what the last bunch of minutes, but almost like a Groundhog Day tonight as it was last night to watch them two games that they should have won. I mean, if with Dame and Chris in there tonight, but it just seems that if they can't win, if they only win maybe one or two of these games in the next out of the next six games, fourth or fifth place is probably where the Bucks are going to be. I mean, come on, folks. If Giannis is hurt, pull him on out and let him rest a little bit here or whatever. Let some of the other players take up the slack. But geez, I mean, come on. I was disappointed in both games last night and tonight. Tonight was almost a repeat of last night. In the last bunch of minutes. I mean, come on, folks. It's got to be better than that. I mean, the Bucks are driving to play for a championship, but the way it seemed tonight and last night, it didn't seem like that they were playing for anything. They just gave the games away. I mean, you can't do that if you want to win a championship.
Yeah, thanks for the call, James. A couple of things there. I don't think tonight was a repeat of last night. It doesn't make it any less disappointing, but I did think they played better than they did a night ago. Now, it wasn't good enough. I think the Memphis Grizzlies just played that much better. You know, I think last night was certainly a case of you really let that one get away. And I don't know if I'd say you gave them that game, but it wasn't really a matter of the Washington Wizards taking the game from them. You gave them confidence. You let an inferior team hang around, and you've long heard the dangers of what happens when you do that, of playing with your food. We saw that last night. That was not the case tonight. I think it was a pretty well-played game, all things considered, for both these teams. And I mentioned this on the post-game show, too, and we do need to point it out once again. It is fair to point out the Bucks played without Damian Lillard, without Chris Middleton, without Pat Beverly. They did not have a point guard on the floor. Ty Washington saw some minutes. But again, Pat Connaughton was basically your point guard tonight. Giannis was filling that role as well. All that's fair, all that's accurate. But let's also acknowledge what the Memphis Grizzlies played without tonight. No Desmond Bane, no Ja Morant, no Marcus Smart, no John Conchar, right? Up and down the list. No Derrick Rose. And it's been all season long that the Memphis Grizzlies have done that. Now, is there something to, well, Memphis has played with this group longer, and they've started to gel in that sense. Sure, probably something to that. But these were the games that, you know, and again, it's not just a matter of you win those games, you're starting to lock up your seeding. Because if the Bucks won last night and if the Bucks won tonight, you would be four games up in the loss column on the Knicks, on the Magic, on the Cavaliers, assuming that score holds in Phoenix. Four games up with six games to play. That means you go into the game Friday night against the Toronto Raptors knowing we win this game, we might clinch it tonight or get as close as we can, but we could cement it this weekend where we know we're going to be the two seed, and then we just sit back and watch and see who ends up in that play-in tournament. But the bigger piece of it, it's not so much the seeding. It's how this team looks going into the playoffs. And I've long said the seeding discussion and who the opponent is, I think the attitude and the approach needs to be the same as it was in 2021. And I do think just knowing how Doc Rivers has approached this season and some of the things that we've heard from Doc Rivers and the importance that he's placed on the process and getting things right and making the team better, even when the team was winning earlier in the season. We would hear Doc Rivers say, I mean, it's good. We're still not there yet. We still have some things we need to improve. I see some of the signs. I see that we're getting better, and I know we're going to get there, but we're not there yet. I think knowing all of that and seeing what we've seen from Doc Rivers, that is going to be an emphasis of, you know, we just want to be playing well going into the playoffs. We're not ducking anybody. We're not going to dodge any opponent. We're not going to try to manipulate the seeding here. We just want to feel good about how we're playing and go into the postseason feeling good about ourselves on a hot streak, if possible. You're going to have to do that against some tough competition in games that those opponents are going to need just as much. 855-616-1620. The number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll take a look at the score in Phoenix. And again, get to those comments that we heard from Doc Rivers specifically about Giannis. And could this be another, not hold your breath, but keep an eye out for that injury report in Friday's game against the Toronto Raptors. We'll get to that after this on Bucks Talk.
The hardwood homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk. This is Bucks Talk.
Don't think the Bucks, and I'll even say won't. They're not going to finish fifth. When you look at those teams that are out there, it would take a lot for that to happen. The big piece of it is having that tiebreaker over the New York Knicks. But again, you don't have it over the Cavaliers, and depending on the results of those two games that you have against the Orlando Magic, you may not have it against the Orlando Magic. As of this moment, it is a 20-point margin in Phoenix. It's 88-68. Suns are up on the Cavs late in the third quarter. 20-point lead doesn't mean anything in the league, as we have all seen and experienced, not just the Bucks. Just about every single team in the league has seen that this season. But it's a 20-point margin, and it's a very important game for the Phoenix Suns. We've spent a lot of time talking about the seedings and how tight it is wound up in the Eastern Conference. It is the same story in the West. I mentioned Timberwolves, Nuggets, and Thunder, 1, 2, and 3. They are separated by one game in the loss column. The Clippers, just two games in the loss column up on the Dallas Mavericks, so it's starting to feel further and further like the Clippers are going to be the 4 seed, but who are they going to get as the 5 seed? Is it going to be the Mavs? Is it going to be the Pelicans? Is it going to be the Sacramento Kings? Is it going to be the Phoenix Suns? Because 5 through 8 in the West is separated by just one game. And it does kind of feel like 9 and 10, it's going to be the Lakers and the Warriors. And we're going to see Steph Curry versus LeBron James with the loser being eliminated from the postseason. So you look at that, and again, your second-to-last game, your penultimate game of the regular season is against those Oklahoma City Thunder, who right now show no signs of going away, and that could potentially be for the 1 seed, for the 2 seed even. It's a tough schedule the Bucks are going to have. Look, not even after Friday. It's going to be a tough schedule starting Friday, given the Bucks' performance against those teams that sit right around the spot where the Toronto Raptors find themselves in the standings. Another bottom 10 team in the standings right now. Those are the teams that have given the Bucks more trouble, seemingly, than those teams that are in the top 10. And the other component is, you know, elephant in the room, we got to wait and see who's going to be available. We don't know what the status is of Pat Beverly, who suffered a right ankle sprain last night in D.C. in that loss to the Wizards. Before the game tonight, Doc Rivers was asked about the status of Pat Beverly and if this was going to be a long-term thing. Said it didn't seem or sound like a severe ankle sprain, but that was literally all the information that he had. For Damian Lillard, as we heard, a chance he could play tonight. Doc said that yesterday. And going back even to Atlanta, when we saw Damian Lillard ruled out of that game and asked, you know, is there a chance that Dame doesn't finish the road trip? And said, yeah, there is a chance of that. Then we got to the game last night and saw Damian Lillard ruled out once again. When is he going to return? I think he'll be ready tomorrow. If not, it sounds like Friday. Did not play tonight. Asked again, is Friday still the plan? Does it feel like it's going to be Friday? Doc said he's feeling a lot better, had a really good workout. He was on the floor working out earlier today. But again, unknown, TBD. So you don't know about Dame for Friday. You don't know about Pat Beverly. I would assume Chris Middleton plays. There's no reason to believe he won't. He missed tonight due to it being night two of a back-to-back and that ankle injury management. I would assume that means at least one more game Chris Middleton is going to miss this season, because next Tuesday the Celtics come to town. Next Wednesday, the Magic come to town. And then the discussion becomes, well, which of those games is more important? Especially if the Magic continue to linger around in the standings, in advance in the standings, if the Bucks suffer defeat again, and that gap becomes shorter and shorter. Which game, then, do you play Chris Middleton in? Is it more important to see how do we match up against the Boston Celtics, assuming their regulars play? How do we get a good look at some of those personnel groupings and matchups and things that we could potentially do here? Or is it more important to say, look, we got to beat the Orlando Magic. We can't continue to slide, and we can't have this team leapfrog us in the standings. But the big piece of it is Giannis. And I think to anybody watching the game tonight, it was pretty clear he didn't seem like he was his usual self. I don't know if he had quite as much burst as we typically see from Giannis. He did not have the touch around the rim when you think about some of those shots that he missed. The looks that he got, his ability to still get into the paint and explode somewhat towards the basket, didn't have those shots dropping. 4 of 14 at the half. The big one, though, was that play in transition where Jake LaRavia got back and tested him. Giannis went down. It was a challenge. Jump ball where Jake LaRavia tied him up. And Giannis appeared to be grabbing at his hamstring, at least, at the very least, at his back leg. And Doc Rivers said, again, I saw the same thing you guys did. I didn't like the way he looked. He did everything he could. But honestly, there were times in that third quarter, midway through, I wanted to take him out of the game. I thought he was running on fumes. And as a coach, you just have to make a judgment call at times. The medical staff kept saying he was okay, but as he quipped, I have eyes, and I didn't like the way he was moving. I wish I would have just said no and pulled him from the game, especially where it was headed in the game where you're already down Pat Beverly, Damian Lillard, Chris Middleton, to say, all right, we're not going to have you put even more on yourself and shoulder even more load and potentially risk anything. Let's just wave the white flag here. Let's play for Friday. But he didn't. And now it's going to be interesting to see Giannis' status, because, again, he was clutching at the back of that left leg a couple of times, one time specifically. But on the injury report, the designation for Giannis for, what, 2 weeks now? And we've seen him as probable. We saw him start out as questionable, but we've seen him as probable. He was probable again tonight. Left hamstring soreness. And that was the left leg that Giannis was reaching for. So that is something to keep an eye on before Friday's game against the Wizards. We'll see where that game in Phoenix is and give you the latest scenarios Where have the Bucks' odds shifted in terms of their seeding? We'll take a look at that after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk. Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
All right, so with this result tonight, we mentioned playoffstatus.com and their projections. Just a couple of days ago, the Bucks had an 80% chance of getting the 2 seed. After the loss last night, that 80% number shrunk to 70%. It was still a 90% chance, roughly, of finishing within the top three. It was an 85% chance of finishing in the top three after last night's game. As of this moment, it is an 82% chance of finishing in the top three. So shrunk just slightly. However, what started as an 80% chance of the 2 seed went to 70 after last night. There's now a 53% chance. So 50-50 chance that the Bucks are going to hold on to the 2 seed. It is still better than 80%. It's not going to slide. They are not going to slide any further than third. But that's what these two losses, and more than that, that's what these last five games have done and opened the door for those teams like the Cavs and especially like the Orlando Magic. What does seem certain, again, the certainties we know in the East are the Celtics are the 1 seed. The Bulls and the Hawks are the 9 and the 10 seeds. It does seem fairly certain the 76ers are going to be the 8 seed. So then the discussion becomes, what's really important? 2 versus 3, you're seeding the teams that you could potentially draw. I think ideally you would want Philadelphia and Miami both in the play-in tournament as that 7 and 8 seed. And I think a lot of Bucks fans would say, look, if that's the case, we want to finish third. There's still a chance that that could happen. I know the Pacers beat the Bucks 4 out of 5 matchups this season. It's a much different team. They are both different teams. Maybe hard to believe it, given the last 5 games we've seen from the Bucks, but they are both different teams. Personnel is different. Buddy Hield is no longer with the Pacers. They traded him to the 76ers. Benedict Mathurin, one of their leading scorers off the bench and one of the league's leading scorers off the bench, he is out for the season. Tyrese Haliburton hasn't looked like the same guy since a hamstring injury. It just looks like a different team with less shooting around Tyrese Haliburton. So it's a different team in Indiana, and there's not a whole lot of postseason experience. There is in Miami. There is with Joel Embiid and the 76ers, and Tobias Harris, for that matter, and some of their role players. When you think about Nick Batum that they brought in, Kelly Oubre. Any way you slice it, there is going to be a tough matchup for the Bucks. You can point to the Magic. You can point to the Pacers. I don't see either of those two teams realistically being the Bucks' first-round opponent. It is very likely, and I think deep down in all of our hearts we know this, we've felt this way all along, it is very likely going to be either the Philadelphia 76ers or the Miami Heat. There's going to be a tough path anywhere you turn. That's where the Bucks have shined this season, and that's where you're going to continue to need to see it. We'll wrap up the show after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
All right, a tough one tonight for the Bucks. The Jaren Jackson Jr. game, he explodes for 25 of his game-high 35 points in the second half. 76 points in the paint tonight for the Grizzlies as well. That's another one of those things you raise an eyebrow at, especially knowing the potential for a first-round matchup with Joel Embiid. Those are the things you look for to get corrected as you start to move into the postseason. Your interior defense, your points in the paint, and rebounding. Transition defense as well, as Doc Rivers said. He saw some strides there, but these are the things you got to see some improvement in. But more importantly, you just got to be healthy going into the playoffs. Friday night, the Toronto Raptors come here to Fiserv Forum. 7 o'clock tip-off on Friday. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk to you then.